Well, Father, we thank you for this word this morning. We thank you that it's alive and true. Lord, we thank you for telling us who we are, Lord, and promising us all the wonderful things that you have for us, God. We thank you for your very being, your very nature. We just praise you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 6, and there's a lot going on in the world right now. It doesn't take much to realize that there is a lot going on. And like we've been talking lately, there's a lot of it that's been negative, and it just drives fear into everybody. So of course, this morning we are talking about worry. And with some of the things going on, since clear back when COVID started, a lot of conspiracy theories have been out there, right? You guys have heard them? You know, where it was a test to see how much the government can control us. Everybody was saying that you'd have to get the vaccine in order to do business, that you'd have to get a vaccine card and say that you're clean in order to do anything. Mark of the beast, they were saying. That the vaccine would have a chip in it. They can track everything you're doing. That your phone's tracking who you're around all the time right now anyway. And now with the election, you've got people going, well, the Democrats are just trying to put Biden and Harris in there so that way they can get Nancy Pelosi in office. They're going to try to pack the Supreme Court with even more Democratic justices, liberal justices. That they want to make Washington, D.C., Guam, and some of the other islands and nations into states of ours to increase the number of Democratic senators. And it's no wonder that a lot of people are getting worried in the world. Because just everything is breeding ground for worry. So in Matthew 6, in verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. What you will put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient is the day, its own trouble. May God bless the reading of his word. Jesus tells us multiple times here not to worry. Worry does us absolutely no good whatsoever. We're in an age that so much is going on that everything is what people get worried about. You could say there's a spider over there and people will get worried, even though it's clear over there and you might be clear over here. And it's one of those things that there's so much that just you want to get worried about because it's just boo. You know? And Jesus specifically said where your meal on the table will be coming from, what you're going to be wearing for clothes. But there's so much more to it there if you think about it. He's basically saying, hey, don't worry what you're going to do if something breaks on your car. He's got it. Don't worry if the stock market drops and your 401k practically disappears overnight. He's got it. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't plan because God gives us wisdom in things. If you have a car, you know eventually things are going to wear out. Eventually, you're going to need a new set of tires. You're going to need brakes, or something's going to have to be fixed on it. But God can make things last a lot longer than they should. You know, I think back, I love trucks. I love having big trucks. And I have one truck that I remember I put some mud tires on. Now, I don't know if you guys know much about mud tires, but they do not really last a long time, usually. They usually get about half the life out of a normal set of tires. So I expected to get maybe 20,000 miles out of them. I ran those things for 70,000 miles. There's no explanation for it other than God. And I didn't even know God when I put that set on there. And I ran it, I moved it to another truck after that one. I still ran it for even longer. I ran over something on the highway, plugged the hole, still ran it for another 50,000 miles after that. God can extend everything. So there's no reason to worry about that kind of stuff. When we worry, we are trying to think and predict what's going to happen in the future. We're worrying about something that hasn't even happened yet, or what something is or isn't going to say about something. A few years back, there was a study done about worry. 85% of what the people worried about never actually happened. So only 15% of what they worried about actually ever came to pass. Of those 15%, 79% of those found that they handled it better than they expected they could, or that there was something that they learned from it that they benefited from far more than what they were worrying about actually happened. So that means 97% of what you worry about has absolutely no effect on the long run. And this is a lot of why God tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7. It's a well-known verse. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Worry, fear, and anxiety is not from God. God never intended us to worry about things. He wants us to have faith, not fear. He wants us to have faith and focus on the good of what could happen. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." Fear involves torment. That torment takes a toll on your body. Anxiety and worry actually takes a physical toll on your body a lot of times. A lot of people, they may just get sick to their stomach. It takes a physical effect, though. Some people have panic attacks. Some people may become irritable. It may affect their blood pressure, lack of sleep, fatigue, gaining weight, because sometimes people just enjoy a big pint of ice cream or something. And that anxiety over an extended amount of time can lead to depression. Going unchecked, it can lead to people withdrawing from their friends, giving up on things that they once loved to do, feeling hopeless even. Another statistic, 3.5 of deaths are actually attributed, or 3.5% of deaths are actually attributed to anxiety and depression. That's actually fairly significant when you think about it. People have focused on what could be going wrong, and it's taken an effect on their body to where their bodies basically didn't operate correctly. A few years back, I remember mental health days being a big thing that everybody was talking about. And if you're not familiar with mental health days, it's basically, not to pick on the younger generations, but I'm in between a millennial and a Gen Z, so I think, or a Gen X, so I can kind of say this, but Gen Zs and millennials, a lot of them were, what they were doing is they were calling in claiming a mental health day. And basically just, instead of saying, hey, I'm sick, they're just going, I need to take a mental health day, and that was the reason they were given. Well, at first I was like, come on, really? Come on, really? A mental health day? No, you just suck it up and do it. Come on, I'm not the only one feeling that way, am I? But I've come to realize sometimes that, especially now after going through and starting to prepare the sermon, I got to thinking about that even. And what they were saying is, hey, I'm realizing this is taking effect on my body. I'm realizing that if I don't do something about this, it may actually hurt me in the long run. So this younger generation, even, they're recognizing some of these things that the Word of God says. And they know if they go with that too long, unchecked, that depression can really set in. And then they just completely shut down. You know, you've got a society that they're living virtually, interacting with people, less in person. And short term, our bodies can handle that stress. It can handle that going on. But God never designed us that way. He designed that fight or flight mode where we get that adrenaline going, we get that to where we're able to go on overdrive for a little bit of time. But that's just meant to use it as an emergency, not to use it as a long-term way of doing it. I'll say I also grew up with small engines and dirt bikes and motorcycles and that kind of stuff. Well, a lot of times those fuel tanks have what they call they've got off, where there's no gas going to it. They've got on, and then they've got reserve. I have a friend that when we used to go riding my motorcycles, he would always run it on reserve. Guess what happens when you're going 60 miles an hour down the road and all of a sudden you run out of gas when you're on reserve? You have no more reserve. Somebody's trying to strap a gas can to the back of their bike. And it's just never the way God intended things to go. We shouldn't be going on reserve in those cases. But perfect love casts out fear. Now, perfect there in the Greek, that's the word teleos. It's also translated complete in other sections where that word's used. So if you look at it again, going, the complete love casts out fear. It's complete because we know that we have that love, that we're sufficient in Christ. We're complete love, knowing that God is love. Matthew 6:33, continue. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seeking first the kingdom of God is where our priorities lie. Why is the church here? It's to establish the kingdom of God on earth. We've got a job to do while we're here on this earth. He calls us his ecclesia. When you see that word church used, it's ecclesia. It's the governing authority. We're God's governing body here on earth. So seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Are we righteous? Yes, we are. We're righteous through Christ. And it's because of Christ that we have any good thing at all. Worrying focuses on ourselves. It doesn't focus on God. When we're worrying about ourselves and the outcome to ourselves, not what the outcome means in the kingdom of God. And like so many things in life, worry wants your attention. It says, focus on me so much that it consumes you. Don't let me out of your mind. I want you to focus on me and worry about it. And God has so much more for us. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Here we have an encouragement, an instruction, and a promise. All in this two short little verses here. First, he says, the encouragement. Paul, writing here to the church at Philippi. Be anxious for nothing. Not anxious for some things. Anxious for nothing. And then he actually tells you, okay, you're anxious. Here's what you do about it. In everything, not some things, but everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So pray. You're anxious about it? Pray about it. Still anxious about it? Pray about it. It's really hard to stay worried and anxious when you're going to God, who can solve all the problems, who loves you so much that he lets you come to him with all your problems. Even though the way we are, we should have never been able to come to God, but he allows us to come to him with our problems or our concerns or what you might be worrying about. Let your requests be made known to God. And then, of course, a wonderful promise here. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. I'll say he guards our hearts and our minds. Two of the things that can shape you the most. It doesn't allow you to be shaken. It doesn't allow you to be stirred. He guards us. He is our protector. Oh, that's so good. He is our protector, you know. In Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The Bible doesn't say that we won't go through hard times. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It tells us that we will go through things. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, you know that you will go through things. But that's also a great thing about it. It says, although we're going to go through things, there's somebody much greater than us that we trust in. There's somebody that's so much better than what we have planned that we're able to trust him. And worrying negates that trust that we have for God. Because when we worry, we say, well, I'm focusing on this so much that I don't realize that God, you've got this under control. God wants us to turn it all over to him, you know. He has a way of taking what we might be focusing on with the bad, and he can turn that around for good because we love him. I'll say, many of you know the story about us trying to conceive when we had Gracie, and some of you may be getting sick about hearing about it, but God showed us so many things through that all. For those of you who don't know, we tried to conceive for 3.5 years before we got pregnant with having Gracie. And it taught us a lot about faith, a lot about trust. And it's not that we were worrying about it, but it got tough. And it's one of those things that, looking back on it, it's great saying, we did great. But it was hard. Every month, we would find out not pregnant. And it's tough. And we got to a point where we just said, you know what? God, it's what you want. God, it's, we surrender. God, whatever you want is what we want. You've promised us. We knew we heard from God saying that he was promising us another child. We knew we heard from God that we were going to do it naturally too. But we were just like, you know what, God? It's up to you. If it's through something else, so be it. If it's adoption, so be it. If it's some sort of other in vitro, IVF, whatever, so be it. But it was when we fully released it over to him that he finally blessed that decision. And of course, we've got a great testimony that's running around and never is able to slow down. But it came after we sought the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then finally, in this passage, Jesus gives us a charge. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In the Message translation, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. In the Passion Translation, refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way, one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. I'll say, so often when you read things like this, looking at some of those other translations, it just brings it into a whole new light. Tomorrow will be here when it's here. Focusing on tomorrow may create worry today. Thinking about what may or may not happen doesn't give us any hope when we're fearing the outcome. Talking with a lot of you lately, and I know, and it's such a timely word for what Ashley had sent out earlier this week, you're either starting a new chapter of your lives, you're about to start a new chapter in your life, considering a new chapter in your life, and what God gave her was, it may not even be a new chapter, it might just be a new page. And this was speaking to me just as much as I'm sure it's speaking to you. But God wants to write it for us. We have to be willing to let God write that chapter, write that page for us. We need to take our hands off the pen and just let whatever he wants be what it is that we need to focus on today. So just let go and let God. Fear and faith are highly related, you know. Fear is anticipating the negative outcome, but faith is anticipating the positive outcome. We're so focused on what we already went through with statistics saying that it's not true that we're going to miss out on what God has for us right now. He's given us his spirit, you know. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, that term of endearment. It's not just calling out for your father, but it's calling out Daddy. Daddy, I need you. Daddy, you're so close. I just want you. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is never outnumbered. When we've got God behind us, we're not outnumbered either. The enemy might think that he surrounded us, but God still got the upper hand. My Bible says that Jesus is the name above every other name. the name about a name above whatever you might be worrying about today. So when you're praying, whatever you're worrying about has a name. You can speak to that. Jesus is the name above COVID. Jesus' name is above whatever finances you might be struggling with. He's above relationships. He's above the election system. He's above and or whatever it is that you're struggling with right now. Cast your cares on Jesus. He's our one true hope, both in this world and in eternity. We have the victory in the long run. Anything the enemy's been tormenting us with, we've got the upper hand here. It's only temporary, whatever we're worrying about, because God has so much more planned for us, and He's ensured us the victory. We're not going to give in to Satan's schemes. We need to give it over to God, seek Him, and let Him show us what our next step is. Father, we do thank You for overcoming worry, Lord. We overcome fear, Lord. Lord, we thank You for Your wonderful promises You have. Lord, You did not leave us. You did not forsake us. You did not leave us helpless, Lord. We fully submit to You, Jesus. We fully submit to Your leading. We're tired of trying to do it on our own. Lord, we're sorry. We repent of anything we've been trying to keep control of, anything that we've let consume us. It's Yours. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Lord, there's nothing that can beat You. Lord, there's nothing that even stands a chance with You, God. Lord, we're sorry for seeking after the gift. We're sorry for seeking after the answer, Lord. We seek You, Jesus. Thank You, God. Lord, remind us of what we need to be reminded of as the enemy tries to sneak in. Lord, You have promised us victory, and we proclaim that victory in today's life, Lord. Thank You for that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.